إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we're continuing reading from the book Taysir al-Allam, Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam by the Shaykh Abdullah ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Salih al-Bassam rahimahullahu ta'ala. And we are reading from the section of the Kitab al-Siyam, the book on the sections of fasting. Last night we stopped at the hadith 180 from Umdat al-Ahkam, the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which a man came and while the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting amongst his companions, a man came. And the Shaykh, he mentioned his name, that was Salama ibn Sakhr al-Bayadi. He came and said that he is destroyed. The Prophet ﷺ asked him for the reason. He said that he had intercourse with his wife in Ramadan while he was fasting. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ didn't rebuke him, didn't scold him. Rather, he gave him the solution, an expiation for his sin. He said to him, and he asked him, "Do you have the means to free a slave?" The man said, "No." Then the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "Can you fast 2 months in a row?" The man said, "No." Then the Prophet ﷺ says, "Do you have the means to feed 60 poor?" He says, "No." Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything to him. He became quiet, keep quiet. After a while, a man came from the companions, brought some dates to the Prophet ﷺ to give in charge. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Where is the questioner? Where is that person who asked that question?" The man was still there, said, "Here I am, Messenger of Allah." Prophet ﷺ said, "Take these dates and give it in sadaqah." The man says, "O Messenger of Allah, me and my family, we are the poorest people in Medina. Can I feed it to my family?" He says, "O Messenger of Allah, there is nobody in Medina that is more poor than me and my family." The Prophet ﷺ, he smiled and he, until his canines were shown, and he was amazed from the action of this man who came afraid, terrified at the beginning. He says he's destroyed. Now he's like, look, he's so happy, and he's, because the Prophet ﷺ dealt with him in a nice way, in a very kind way. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Take it and feed it to your family." هناك اختلاف العلماء. قال الشيخ: يرى عامة العلماء وجوب الكفارة على من جامع متعمدا، واختلفوا في الناس، وتقدم أن الصحيح أنه ليس عليه كفارة. الشيخ, of course, yesterday we read to you the general meaning of this hadith, and one of the most important things related to it is how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with this man. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahu ta'ala, he says the Prophet ﷺ did not rebuke this man, didn't scold him, didn't. Rather, he talked to him nicely. Why? Because this man, he knew he did something wrong, and he's coming repenting to Allah. He wants to do what is right. He wants to expiate for his sin. So the Shaykh says, likewise, we learn from the great etiquettes and the manners of the Prophet ﷺ. If someone already did something bad, and he come to you, come to one of us, for advice, he's like, help me, man, I did a big thing, but I wanna do what is right, you gotta help them. You don't sit there, why you did it, who are you, this, that. Yeah. The Prophet ﷺ didn't ask him any questions. Immediately, gave him the solutions, that which will help him to rectify his affairs. But here the Shaykh, he mentioned now some ikhtilaf of the ulama pertaining to certain points as related to this issue here. He says the majority of the scholars, they are in the opinion that kafara, expiation, the atonement, is obligatory upon the one who have intercourse in the day of Ramadan. Intentionally, not the one who forgets. But then they said they differ as related to what about someone who did the same thing, have intercourse with his wife in the day of Ramadan, but he forgets. They have difference of this, but actually he says, we mentioned to you earlier, is that, meaning in this book, which is yesterday, in the class of yesterday, that actually the one who fall into this sin out of forgetfulness, there is nothing against that person. No expiation. وَاخْتَلَفُوا أَيْضًا هَلْ وُجُوبُ الْكَفَّارَ عَلَى التَّخْيِيرِ أَوْ التَّرْتِيبِ. Likewise, the scholars, they have a difference of opinions as related to these three things the Prophet ﷺ mentioned to this man: to free a slave, to fast 2 months in a row, to feed 60 miskin. Is this in this order, or he has the choice to choose any one of these three? Is it in order he has to first deal with the freeing a slave? If he can, then he has to go to the number two, which is not feeding 60 people poor, which is too fast, 2 months in a row. Or this man has to choose any of these three. Which one? قال فذهب مالك وأحمد في إحدى الروايتين عنهما إلى أنها على التخيير لما في الصحيحين عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رجلا أفطر في رمضان فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يكفر بعتق رقبة أو صيام شهرين متتابعين أو إطعام 60 مسكينا وأوجب تخييره. He says Imam Malik and also Imam Ahmed has two opinions. This is one of them. He agrees with Imam Malik that they say that this man has the choice to choose any one of these three things he wants to do. And they bring a hadith, is in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaqun alayhi, agreed upon, from Abu Huraira as well, radiallahu anhu, that a man broke his fast in Ramadan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that man to expiate for that by freeing a slave, or fast 2 months in a row, or feed 60 miskin. وذهب الجمهور من العلماء كالشافعي وابي حنيفة والمشهور منهم مذهب أحمد والثوري والأوزاعي إلا أنها على الترتيب مستدلين بحديث الباب هذا الحديث وجعلوا حديث التخيير مجملا يبينه حديث الترتيب ليحصل العلم بهما جميعا. As for the majority of the scholars, the like of al-Shafi'i, Abi Hanifa, and the most famous opinions from Ahmed, rahimahullah, al-Thawri, al-Awza'i, that this expiation is in this order. He has to do the freeing of the slave first. If he can't, then he moves to the next one, which is to fast 2 months in a row. If he's not able, then he move on to the third one, which is to feed 60 miskin. So the Jamhur, this is the majority of the scholars, they mentioned that it is in order. Not, he doesn't have a choice, this person. And what is their proof? Their proof is this hadith that is agreed upon too. The hadith 180. Okay? But they mention, so what about the other hadith? Because the other hadith is agreed upon too. Because that hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that for a man who broke the fast in Ramadan. So they say this hadith specify the other one. Alright? So this hadith, the other one is mujmal, is general statement of the Prophet ﷺ, but this one was specific to this man. Okay? And in it, do this. If you cannot do this, if he cannot, because the man, he said he can't do these things. No. He said this way we can combine between the two narrations. قال ولو أخذ بحديث التخيير لم يمكن العمل بحديث الترتيب مع أن كليهما صحيح. He says now for those who follow the hadith and they say that he has a choice, so now the other hadith cannot be applied. Okay, and both of them are sahih. Both of them are sound a hadith. واختلف العلماء هل تسقط الكفارة مع العجز عنها كما هو المشهور من مذهب إمام أحمد وهو أحد قولي الشافعي لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص للرجل أن يطعم التمر أهله ولو كان كفارة عنهما جاز له. Also there is, the Sheikh mentioned another difference of opinions among the scholars as pertaining to, there is the expiation. If someone having a course with his wife in a day of Ramadan and he's fasting and he know what he was doing wrong, if this person cannot free a slave, cannot fast, and doesn't have the ability to feed the poor miskins, the 60, is he exempt? The ulama, they have difference. Because this person, he's unable to do any of these three. Unable to do any of these three, is he exempt because he's not able? The ulama, they differ. Some they say he's exempt, and this is from what is famous from the statements of Al-Madhab of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, and it is one of the two opinions of Imam al-Shafi'i. Why? What is their proof? They say because the Prophet ﷺ, he allowed this man to feed his people, his family, that sadaqah that he, the Prophet ﷺ, tell him to go and expiate for his. He says, so therefore, if it was obligatory upon him, it will not be permissible for him to eat from it. Okay? Is that clear? No. وَذَهَبَ الْجَمْهُورِ إِلَّا أَنَّهَا لَا تَسْقُطْ بِالْإِعْسَانِ. The majority of the scholar, they says, no. Just because of a person is unable to expiate for that sin, still, he's not exempt. At the moment he cannot do it, but it's still not exempt. قالوا لأنه ليس في الحديث ما يدل على ذلك بل ظاهر عدم سقوطها لأنه لما سأله عن أنزل درجات الكفارة وهي الإطعام وقال لا أجد سكت ولم يبرئ ذمته منها والأصل أنها باقية قياسا لهذه الكفارة وقياسا لهذه الكفارة على سائر الكفارات والديون من أنها لا تسقط بالعساب. And he mentioned why. Because in this hadith, there is no proof that the Prophet ﷺ said to the man that he's exempt from the expiation. Rather, when the Prophet ﷺ indicate for him the lowest of these levels, three levels of expiation, still the man says, I can't feed 60 people, 60 poor, I have no means. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say to him, okay, well, since the case, you're exempt. So ain't nothing upon you. The Prophet ﷺ, he was just quiet. He didn't say to him, okay, since you can do none of this, well, you don't worry about it. He didn't say that to him. Okay? They said, so that's why it is still binding upon that person, that kafara. At that moment, he can't, but it's still not exempt. Tayyip. الأحكام المأخوذة من الحديث. Some rulings and regulations that are taken from this hadith. أولا أن الوطأ في نهار رمضان من الفواحش المهلكات. That having intercourse in the day of Ramadan is considered from the deadly and destroying sins. The destroying sins. Why? قال لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أقره على قوله هلكت ولو لم يكن كذلك لهون عليه الأمر. Why? Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when this man came and says, O Messenger of Allah, I'm destroyed. I destroyed myself. And when the Prophet ﷺ asked him, what destroy you? And he said what he mentioned, that he had intercourse with his wife in the day of Ramadan, while he's fasting. The Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say to him, oh no, it's not like you think, it's okay, it's not a big deal. The Prophet ﷺ didn't tell him that. So the Prophet ﷺ agreed with him that it is a destroying thing. So a very, very bad thing. You gotta be careful. May Allah protect us. ثانيا أن الواطئ عمدا يجب عليه الكفارة وهي على الترتيب عتق رقبة فإن لم يجد فصيام شهرين متتابعين فإن لم يستطع فإطعام 60 مسكينا. That this person who fall into this sin, who have intercourse, it is obligatory عمدا, he did it intentionally. He's not someone who don't know, because somebody may not know. Somebody, for example, became a Muslim and he's married. His wife, she became a Muslim. They didn't know. So this man is jahil. He's ignorant. He don't know the hukum. He just became Muslim. They told him, look, it's Ramadan now, you fast. But they didn't know. Or somebody who forget. Even though some of the ulama, they says this is something that is not easy to forget. But still, as a human being, you may forget. But then, of course, Allah knows what's in the heart. It's not like somebody going to do it and then say, let me go to the Imam of the Masjid till he may forget. The Imam is not going to help you. The Imam may tell you what we're saying right now. Oh, you forget nothing, akhi. But when you stand in front of Allah and Allah knows you didn't forget, and you knew what you were doing, be like this man. And once again we say, may Allah protect us. Ameen. So this man who did it intentionally, whoever does this intentionally, expiation and atonement become obligatory upon that person. And in this order, he free a slave. Later on the Shaykh is going to mention, any slave, kafir, Muslim or not? He says, no, I got to be a Muslim slave, a believing slave. But you can understand this involves money. You know, if you find maybe somebody may be in a time or a place there is no slaves, what are he gonna do? He moves to the next one. Or maybe there is slaves but he doesn't have no means. Slaves are expensive. Maybe to free a slave you need $10,000 or 20 or 50 or more or less. This man doesn't have any of that. So what he do, he move, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. If a person cannot find the slave to free, even though they have the money, or as the ulama, like Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen mentioned, or there is a slave, but there is no, he doesn't have the money to do it, no ability, then the person move to the second level, which is to fast 2 months in a row. If that person have a valid reason, which they cannot fast 2 months in a row, then that person move on to the third level, which is to feed 60 miskin. ثالثا أن الكفارة لا تسقط مع الإعسار لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يسقطها عنه بفقره وليس في الحديث ما يدل على السقوط. That this expiation and this atonement for this sin doesn't go away just because a person cannot do it at that moment. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he didn't say to this man who couldn't do any of these three things. The Prophet ﷺ, in this hadith, didn't say to him, you're exempt. And there is no indication whatsoever in the hadith, the Shaykh says, that this man who couldn't do any of these three things that the Prophet guide him to, he didn't say to him, you're exempt, since you can't do any of this. رابعا جواز التكفير عن الغير ولو من أجنبي. The permissibility of helping someone to expiate for himself, even from someone who we don't know. Okay. خامسا أن له الأكل منها وإطعامها أهله ما دامت مخرجة من غيره. That if another person help another person and he expiate, he's the one who did it on his behalf, that person who was done for him can eat from it. But if it's coming from him, no. But if it's coming from somebody else and he's in need, yes, he can have a share of it. سادسا, number six, ظاهر الحديث أنه لا فرق في الرقبة بين الكافر والمؤمنة وبهذا أخذ الحنفية. He says the apparent meaning of the hadith as related to freeing a slave, that slave, the apparent meaning doesn't specify whether it has to be Muslim or not. Okay? And this is what the Hanafiya, those who follow the Madhab al-Hanafi, that's what they say. They said, free a slave, doesn't matter, Muslim or non-Muslim slave. وَالصَّحِيحُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْجَمْهُورِ. But the Shaykh, he says, however, the sound opinion that the majority of the scholars are upon, أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ إِيمَانِهَا, that slave has to be a believer, Muslim, upon iman. ويكون الحديث مقيدا بالنصوص التي فيها كفارة القتل فإنه ذكر فيها الإيمان. So he says, so this hadith, yes, in the apparent meaning, just say slave, free slave. This is a general statement. But it is restricted and to be understood with the other narrations that mention the freeing of a slave, they have to be believer, like the person who killed another person out of mistake. So that the expiation is to free a slave, but in those circumstances is mentioned رقب مؤمنة. It's in the Quran. He has to free a believing slave. نعم. سابعا, number seven, حسن خلق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكرم الوفادة عليه. فقد جاءه هذا الرجل خائفا وجلا فراح فرحا معه ما يطعم منه أهله. الله أكبر. So this hadith is one of the many hadiths that highlights the great manners of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah سبحانه وتعالى, Allah said about him, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You, Muhammad, you are on the highest standards of manners and morals. صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had the best manners, the Prophet ﷺ. And look how he dealt with this man who did something big. Okay? But still, the Prophet ﷺ was kind and nice to him, gentle, easy. So much so that this man, when he came in the first time upon the Prophet ﷺ, he was terrified, trembling, in fear. And as soon as he talked to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was so nice to him and kind and helping him out to expiate for his sin in the nicest way, he didn't rebuke him, he didn't scold him, he was nice to him, not harsh to him. Now this man, subhanAllah, now he turned happy to his family, not only happy, but with some food for himself and his family. La ilaha illallah. Yeah, and we learn a lot from this, as we mentioned, we elaborate on that yesterday. But we still, we learn, we people of Sunnah, for what reason, brother? By affiliation? Just because we come to a masjid that sunnah is taught with people of sunnah, and that's it. No, we have to apply the sunnah. Some people, yes, they apply it and they try in the way they look. But they forget to apply the sunnah in the way they talk and the way they walk. Some people, yes, they apply the sunnah in a masjid when other people looking at them. MashaAllah, smile. Hayyakallah. MashaAllah. He go home, frown in his wife. She go get nothing from him. His parents get nothing from him. So what is this sunnah? Who tell these people? And may Allah protect us from being amongst them.
Amen.
And guide those who are struggling to the sunnah.
Amen.
Who's telling them that you have to apply the sunnah only in a masjid? No, whenever you are. Actually, your parents and your wife and your children, our parents, our wives, our children, family members, they are more worthy of our gentleness and kindness than other people. الْأَقْرَبُونَ أَوْلَى بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The closest people to you, they are those who are more deserving of your kindness. Can't just be in a masjid smiling to people that come from Alabama. You just see them once after Dhuhr. You're never going to see them, maybe. You may never see them. Just people traveling, they put it on GPS. Oh, Masjid Tawheed, Allahu Akbar. Ooh, they came from 85. They came here. Let's pray Dhuhr here and combine Asr and we keep going. Now you find us, Allah. Where are you from, Akhi? Alabama. Or Texas, or whatever the case, Florida. Oh, we show them a lot of love, right, Tariq? Allah, Yaqallah, how you doing, MashaAllah? Give them the oil that we have in our pocket. Come here, Akhi. We take them for lunch. Right or wrong? And then what happened? We don't do this with the people that every day we see them in the masjid? No, these are people, the closest people to you. And especially if they are your family members. They are more deserving of our kindness, our gentleness, our generosity. I know, ya akhwan. This is how we apply the sunnah. And we have to be careful of riya and show off. Shaitan is very wicked. The soul called to evil. And we get caught up. Why? Because we have God. We get caught up. What do you say? Off guard? Yeah, because we are not really. Yes. We like to do that. The mashayikh, they say, look, as a human being, we like to be praised. And we like that the people say, oh, he's a nice guy. How is sometimes when the people say, he's a nice guy, and say, yeah. Right or wrong? Instead to feel like, subhanAllah, this man don't know me. See, that's the salaf. The salaf, when somebody praised them, they change. They're like, this man don't know me. What are you talking about? He don't know me. He's praising me for, well, you don't know me. Why are you praising me? Ah, you don't know me. You don't know what I do when I'm alone. You won't judge me only because what you see I do in front of you? You know with me when I'm alone. See? There you go. No, but we like, yeah, alhamdulillah, zakallah. Come with me for lunch. Now you buy him a lunch because he praises you. La ilaha illallah. But if somebody comes to him and say, ittaqillah ya Aba Muhammad, ittaqillah, come on, sir, want to fight. But actually the one who tell you ittaqillah, that's the one that you're like, alhamdulillah, this is looking after me. He's watching my back, Allahu Akbar. He's telling me ittaqillah. Watch, akhi, watch it, brother. Now we get offended. Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya ayyuhan nabiyyu ittaqillah. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We read it in the Quran. Oh Prophet, ittaqillah. But now when somebody tell me taqillah, I'm like, it's like, no, this is a good advice. The salaf, they used to advise one another for taqwallah. This is the wasiyya. And this is the wasiyya of Allah to all of the people, the first generations and the latter generations. Ayna. So it's very important for us to apply these things. And we should humble ourselves. If we don't know, say, I don't know. And apply this with your people in the masjid, with your wife, with your parents, with your neighbors, with your partner in the business. Apply this with your children. If you make a mistake, later on you find out, yes, don't be arrogant. Go to your wife and say, yes, I was wrong earlier. May Allah forgive me. Please, I apologize. No, why? Why can't we do that? No. Your 12-year-old, he said something, oh, be quiet. Oh. Now later on you're like, no, I shouldn't do that, subhanAllah. And you go to him and say, son, I'm your father, right? And you're my son, right? But you're right earlier. I was wrong. Jazakallah khair, may Allah protect you. And this way, mashallah, things be okay. Anyway, may Allah protect us.
Ameen.
And may Allah grant us ikhlas.
Ameen.
And mutaba'ah of the Messenger of Allah.
Ameen.
And may Allah assist us, because without His assistance, we're not going to apply the Sunnah. We can claim, oh, Sunnah, Sunnah, Sunnah. But without Allah's assistance and tawfiq, we're not going to apply it. We're going to continue to talk about it. But when it comes to apply it in our homes, with our wives, with our parents, with our neighbors, amongst ourselves, when we're alone, in times of difficulty and hardship, time of ease, then if it's not for Allah's tawfiq and success and aid and help and assistance, we're never going to get it together, man. We're not going to get it together. You think just because you have a nice thobe on that came from Medina, that's it, you think that thobe going to tell you, brother, where you going? No. Something going to be in your heart that tell you where you're going, brother. That thobe ain't going to pull you. You know? Right here? Right there? You know? Barakallahu fi. Famine, number 8 from the benefits. أن من ارتكب معصية لا حد فيها ثم جاء تائبا نادما فإنه لا يعذر. الله أكبر. The Sheikh says that if someone committed a sin, disobeyed Allah, but there is no prescribed limit for it, punishment for it. A sin that there is no prescribed punishment in the legislation for it, and this man come repenting, wants to rectify the affair, we should help them out. We should punish them, come up with a punishment from ourselves. And Allah didn't prescribe no punishment for that. People, they're like, okay, well, you gotta do this first. Do what, man? Allah didn't tell him to do anything. Why are we gonna come up with a punishment for a person that Allah didn't prescribe for? See how we go wrong sometimes? Because of ignorance. And that's why, if we're ignorant, let us at least recognize that. The problem that some of us are ignorant, but they don't know that. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْجَهْلُ الْمُرَكَّبُ. This is the, not the simple ignorance, what's the other? Compounded ignorance. They're ignorant and they don't know that they are ignorant. They think they know. They figure out everything. That's why some people, they burn the whole house. He's not an electrician. He think he is. I got it. Boom! Yeah, he got it. He got what? Say, I don't know. Let's call an electrician. Let's call a mechanic. Same thing. Let's take this boy or this girl to the doctor. And imagine parents, oh, got it. Get this knife. Knife what, man? You're not going to touch my daughter. Right or wrong. That's what the mother's going to say. Same thing she has to tell him. You're not touching those wires, brother. Why? This is my house. Yes, it's your house, but you're not an electrician. Leave it alone. Right or wrong. But some people, they think they know everything. That caused damage. What about in the deen of Allah, man? The deen of Allah. This is the deen of Allah. This is not the deen of anybody else. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he has a book, I'lam al-Muwaqi'een, an Rabbi al-Alamin. He's talk about that when the people give fatwa from the deen, it's like they sign in on behalf of Allah. Can you imagine you sign on behalf of somebody, but that's not your house, that's not your property, and you put your signature in there? Nobody would do that in this dunya, right? So why people would do that in the deen of Allah? You can't just say, yes, it is. Well, it's not. What if it's not in the deen of Allah? That person be in a big trouble. That's why we humble ourselves, Ikhwan. We ask Allah tawfiq, ikhlas, and mutaba'ah. And we learn. These classes we have here, as I mentioned before, they are not everything. We're not going to be scholars or real good students of knowledge just come in, spend 45 minutes a day and night. But these are classes, it put us on a track. Those amongst us who Allah wants good for them, they're going to make from this 45 minutes or 50 minutes, they're going to stretch it to 4 or 5 hours. Some they stretch it to 10 hours, 12. It's like someone try to help you to learn a skill, right? And they take you somewhere, they go to this office, and they spend 45, 50 minutes with you to teach you how to something, some skills. And you get paid. They still give you $8 an hour. And if you come, like, if you come every day, so how much you make in a week? Alhamdulillah? $56. $56. Real wrong. Is that enough for you to pay rent and feed your family? Huh? What do people do usually? What do? They put more hours. How many? Another 50 minutes? Huh? 3 hours is enough a day? Or 8 hours, $8 an hour? 10 hours still not enough. Real wrong. People put 16 hours. 17. Right or wrong? Why? Because they like, look, man, they do the math. So we want to be upon the sunnah. We want to be firm upon it. And we want, mashallah, our family to be on it. And we spend in what? 50 minutes a week studying the deen of Allah? It doesn't add up, does it? Now we have to put some efforts. I'm guilty, man. What are you looking at me like I'm giving you advice? I'm the first one, man. May Allah have mercy on us. We just sit here and we think, alhamdulillah, I have a nice class. This is not a class. This is a beginning. Okay, well, we have to get to the intermediary and advanced. Well, how long? We're just going to stay in a pre-K? 10 years we're still in a pre-K? Huh? 10 years! Still in a pre-K. Still learning A, B, C. That's what some of us are doing. Being Muslim for 10 years, 20 years, still learning the A, B, C. Still can't get the Arabic, can't read the Quran right. Still can't break down one fiqh issue. Yeah, we make wudu, break it down for me, akhi. Oh, no. I don't have time. Just say I don't know. I would rather say I don't know. SubhanAllah, you're right. I've been making wudu all this time. I can't even break it down to you. I can't even bring one ayah, one hadith to support this, what I've been doing for years. It's very important for us, Ikhwan. We got to take this deen seriously because this is a serious matter, man. This is a serious matter. We got to study. These classes, alhamdulillah, they are start. But you take this book or the other book, alhamdulillah, especially in our time, there is many books that have been translated. Learn the Arabic. Try your best. We start programs in Arabic and people don't show up. Now you need to encourage the teacher. Like more people coming. Okay? When somebody going to teach you Arabic, for example, when he comes, he finds you guys already waiting 15, 20 minutes. In the dunya, people, they know these things. Those who go watch a game, what they do? The game starts at 3 o'clock. They get to the stadium when? Tell me, Abdul Majid.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
Fahim. Do they show up at 5 p.m.? Huh? They miss the game, right? But they don't want to do that, right? And just the game. The game starts at 3. People be at the stadium at 9 a.m. 11. And they spend there 2, 3, 4 hours waiting. Nothing going on. Waiting for the game. But people come on Jumu'ah late. They miss the khutbah. Now he's there 4 hours waiting for the game, but on Jumu'ah they come until the Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He's like, oh man, they early. No, you're late. They're not early. They're doing what they're doing every Jumu'ah. They didn't change anything. So don't start that. Just take it. Say, I'm late today. But a lot of people don't even care. Can you imagine if people, they go into the game and they have to wait for some guy and they get there and the game already started. Oh man, they never forget that guy. Right or wrong? Man, the game has already started. We missed 5 minutes. People missed the whole khutbah, no problem. Nothing, like nothing happened. It's okay. Yeah, we just have Jumu'ah. Did you really have Jumu'ah? What Jumu'ah you had? You came in the last rak'ah. He came in the last rak'ah, you're talking about, yeah, we have a nice Jumu'ah today. Maybe he's talking about the chicken. I don't know, he's talking Jumu'ah. You came. You want a Jumu'ah, you got to come early. Come away. But alhamdulillah, there is always minority. There is people who come early for Jumu'ah. There are people who come early for Salat. And there are people who come early for the class of Arabic or Quran or Hadith. But we want to encourage one another, barakallahu feekum. But this is Salafiyya. Salafiyya is knowledge-based. It's not just slogans or some t-shirt, some kufi or some... No, it's knowledge. It's knowledge-based, ya akhi. We gotta learn. We're going to make efforts to learn. We can get books and read them and spend time with our families. And that's what we need to do. Now, so the Shaykh in number 8, he says, if a person committed a sin, there is no punishment prescribed for it in our legislation. This person is coming regretting what he did. That person, he or she, regretting what they did, repenting, remorseful, don't punish them. Help them. If you can't help, direct them to those who will and have the ability to do so, inshallah. Then the Shaykh, he mentioned a summary. He mentioned this paragraph I'm going to read to you. قال خلاصة فوائد من كلام الشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله. In the end of the explanation of this hadith, he mentioned a summary of some benefits from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah regarding different issues of what breaks the fast and what doesn't break the fast. Qala. يُفَطِّرُ بِالنَّصِّ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ. He says, with text, meaning proof and consensus of the ulama, that eating, drinking, when we say drinking, meaning fluids, things that are permissible for us, water, juices, coffee, tea, and the like, smoothies, all right? And intercourse, for those who do this intentionally, that break the fast. Okay, this break the fast. وَثَبَتَ بِالسُّنَّةِ وَالْإِجْمَاعِ أَنَّ دَمَ الْحَيْدِ يُنَافِي الصَّوْمِ فَلَا تَصُومُ الْحَائِدِ وَلَكِنْ تَقْضِي الصِّيَامِ. And also from the sunnah and the consensus of the ulama, that the woman in her menses do not fast. If a woman in her menses, menstrual cycle, they do not fast. But they have to remember how many days, they count how many days they miss in Ramadan, and they have to make up those days after Ramadan. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما فدل على أن نزول الماء من الأنف يفطر الصائم. Then he mentioned this is still Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says,
exaggerate when you sniff in water in wudu. So when you put water in your nose, you got to make sure that it goes way high. Unless if you're fasting. Unless if you're fasting. He says, this is a proof that if water go through your nostrils, to the throat, that'll break the fast. It breaks the fast. So when you're fasting, you put water in your nose, but make sure you're not in the same way when you're not fasting, so that the water doesn't go through your nostrils and go through those passages and end up in your throat and then down to your belly.
قال الخطابي ولا أعلم خلافا بين أهل العلم في أن من ذرعه القيء فلا قضاء عليه وفي أن من استقاء عامدا فعليه القضاء.
Another point, he says, الخطابي, one of the scholars, he says, I don't know any difference of opinions amongst the people of knowledge that if a person, and this point is pertaining to vomiting, okay, vomiting, he says, if a person he was what? He didn't do it intentionally. Somebody who he didn't do it himself. He didn't induce the vomiting. What did he call it? He was overpowered by it or something? He didn't induce it.
It was involuntary.
Involuntary. Is no word? Come on, you know English. Huh? You gotta give some class in English too? Inshallah. Tayyib. Alhamdulillah. Ibrahim, you give some classes in English? Inshallah. Alright. Meaning this person, he didn't, because some people they put their fingers to throw off, they whatever, other objects. This person, he just overpowered them. Involuntary vomiting, that person does not make up that day. Okay? Doesn't make up that day. But if a person induced the vomiting, somebody sometimes they feel like, oh man, they feel nauseous and they put their finger in there, that person make up that day.
ومن احتلم بغير اختياره كالنائم لم يفطر بالاتفاق. وَأَمَّا مَنْ إِسْتَمْنَى فَأَنْزَلْ فَإِنَّهُ يُفْتَرْ.
If someone has a wet dream without his choice, you know, that person does not make up that day. Like someone who is taking a rest and wake up and find a wet, they have a wet dream, that person does not make up that day. They make ghusl for salat, but they don't make up that day. They continue fasting. But if someone masturbates and the fluid comes out, they have to make up that day. That breaks the fast.
وقد ثبت بدلالة الكتاب والسنة أن من فعل محظورا مخطئا أو ناسيا لم يؤاخذه الله بذلك ويكون بمنزلة من لم يفعله فلا يكون عليه إثم ومثل هذا لا تبطل عبادته.
He says, also we have proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah that if a person fall into something that is prohibited out of mistake or out of forgetfulness, doing it mistakenly or out of forgetfulness, this nothing is against this person. And he is on the same level of the one who didn't do that, who didn't fall into that prohibited act. So there is no sin on this person as long as it was out of mistake or forgetfulness. It's very important conditions.
ومثل هذا لا تبطل عبادته. Such person, his actions of worship is now void. فالصائم إذا أكل أو شرب أو جامع ناسيا أو مخطئا فلا قضاء عليه وهو قول طائفة من السلف والخلف.
And the Shaykh gave an example of the fasting person. If he eats or drink or have intercourse out of forgetfulness or out of mistake, there is nothing upon those people. They don't make up that day or nothing. And this is the statement of many of the Salaf and the Khalaf.
وَأَمَّا الْكُحْلُ وَالْحُقْنَ وَمَا يُقَطَّرُ فِي الْإِحْلِيلِ وَمُدَاوَاتِ الْمَأْمُومَ وَالْجَائِفَةِ فَهَذَا مِمَّا تَنَزَعَ فِي أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ.
Now he says, as for kuhl, what is kuhl in English? You know kuhl? Not mascara. Mascara is not. Kuhl, kuhl. They call it kuhl too. But what is it in English?
Eyeliner.
Huh? Eyeliner. Not highliner. No. That's what it is. The kuhl, the sunnah. That black powder, and they put it here. They call it kuhl too, huh? Kuhl. Okay, kuhl. Now, so that one, the kuhl, the injection, okay, and the eye drops, ear drop, and the like. So the people of knowledge, they differ. This, does kuhl break the fast or not in Ramadan? Injection, break the fast or not? The eye drops, ear drops, somebody's sick and he has to put some eye drops, ear drops. Does he break the fast or not? Says the people of knowledge, they differ. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ لَمْ يُفَطِّرْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ فَطَّرَ بِالْجَمِيعِ. Some, you find some of the people of knowledge, says none of these break the fast. Some of them says every one of these break the fast. See? Every one of them break the fast. Other they says none of them break your fast. So what do you want to do now? قَالْ وَالْأَظْهَرْ أَنَّهُ لَا يُفَطِّرُ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. But the Shaykh, he chooses the opinion, he says, what is the to be, sound to be the, seems to be the sound opinion that none of this break the fast. And he gave the explanation, he says, فَإِنَّ السِّيَامَ مِنْ دِينِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ الَّذِي يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى مَعْرِفَتِهِ الْخَاسُ وَالْعَامِ فَلَوْ كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورِ مِمَّا حَرَّمَهَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ فِي الصِّيَامِ ويفسد الصوم بها لكان هذا مما يجب بيانه على الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولو ذكر ذلك لعلمه الصحابة وبلغه الأمة كما بلغوا سائر شرعه فلما لم ينقل أحد من أهل العلم عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في ذلك لا حديثا صحيحا ولا ضعيفا ولا مسندا ولا مرسلا علم أنه لم يذكر شيئا من ذلك والحديث المروي في الكحل ضعيف. The Sheikh says fasting is from the religion of the Muslims, that everybody should know about it. All the Muslims, they know about the fasting and the rulings and the regulations of fasting. He says, so therefore, if this matters here, that the ulama have differed whether they break the fast or not, if they were from those things that Allah and His Messenger has made them prohibited while you're fasting, and therefore, if somebody does any of them break his fast and make it corrupt, this was from the things that is upon the Messenger of Allah to make it clear for the people. And if the Messenger of Allah mentions something about this in this regard, certainly the Sahaba will know about it, the companions, and they will convey the Ummah as they convey the rest of the legislation. He said, so therefore, since we have nothing transmitted from them, from the Prophet ﷺ, not even no hadith, weak or sound, that is traced in a chain of narration that is sound or not, or a broken chain of narration, nothing is mentioned from this. He said, keep in mind that the hadith, that certain people, they use it and say, look, when you make kuhl, that break the fast, the hadith is weak. The hadith is da'if. والذين قالوا إن هذه الأمور تفطر لم يكن معهم حجة إلى القياس. He said, those people who they say these things break the fast, they have no proof except analogy, قياس. وأقوى ما احتجوا به وبالغ في الاستنشاق إلا أن تكون صائما وهو قياس ضعيف. And from the, they use analogy because they don't have a text, but they use another text to build the ruling on it. What is this text that we mentioned, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that when you make istinshaq in wudu, you should try to sniff the water higher as much as you can, unless if you're fasting. But he says, but this analogy is weak. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّ مَنْ نَشَقَ الْمَاءَ بِمَنْخَرَيْهِ يَنْزِلُ الْمَاءَ إِلَى حَلْقِهِ وَإِلَى جَوْفِهِ فَحَصَلَ لَهُ بِذَلِكَ مَا يَحْصُلُ لِلشَّارِبِ بِفَمِهِ وَيُغَذِّي بَدَنَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْمَاءِ وَيَزُولُ الْعَطَشِ. He says, because the person who sniffs water higher, and that water goes through the passages and nostrils and ends up through the throat and ends up to the stomach, that's water. Okay? And that helps the person quench his thirst, if it's not all of it, some of it. That's why we don't do this. قال وكذلك الصائم نهي عن الأكل والشرب لأن ذلك سبب التقوي وليس كذلك الكحل والحقنة ومداوات الجائفة والمأمومة فإن لا تغذي البتة. It says likewise when you eat and drink, which is prohibited because this is contains nutrients and give you strength to the body. He says, but kuhl doesn't. Kuhl doesn't. Eye drops or ear drops doesn't. طيب. قال أما الجماع فإنه إحدى الشهوتين فجرى مجرى الأكل والشرب. He says, as for intercourse, why it is prohibited? He says, because it is one of the two desires. You desire food and drinks and you desire intercourse. That's why it is prohibited, as foods and drinks are prohibited for the fasting person. In the Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the fasting person leave off his desire and his food for me. And his food for me. فَتَرْكُ الْإِنسَانِ شَهْوَتَهُ وَعِبَادَ مَقْصُودَ يُثَابُ عَلَيْهَا. He says, so therefore, a person leave it off his shahwa for Allah, that's considered an act of worship that he will be rewarded for. He will be rewarded for. قال والعلماء متنازعون في الحجامة هل تفطر أو لا. Another point, he says, the scholars, they have a disagreement as related to hijama, cupping. You know cupping, right? Take the blood from the body from certain places. They have, the people of knowledge, they differ also as related to cupping. Does it break the fast or not? قال والأحاديث الواردة عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في قوله أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم كثيرة قد بين الأئمة الحفاظ. He says, and the ahadith that came from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, from them is his statement, أفطر الحاجم والمحجوم. They both break their fast, the one who performing the cupping and the one that is performed for him. They both break their fast. It says, are many. And the Hafad of the Hadith, the A'imma, they mention these narrations. Like, for example, in Nail al-Awtar, he mentioned many of them. And I'm going to read to you something in here, inshallah. وَقَدْ كَرِهَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَ الْحِجَامَ لِلصَّائِمِ. He says, more than one of the companions, they dislike for a person to have cupping in while fasting. وَالْقَوْلُ بِأَنَّهَا تُفَطِّرْ مَذْهَبْ أَكْتَرْ فُقْهَا الْحَدِيثِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ أَخَصُّ النَّاسِ بِاتِّبَاعِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He says, and to say the statement and the opinion that it breaks the fast, it is the opinion of the majority of the fuqaha of hadith, and they are the ones who really know the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. والذين لم يروا إفطار المحجوم احتجوا بما ثبت في الصحيح من أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم احتجم وهو صائم محرم. He says, as for those scholars who they say that the hijama, cupping, does not break the fast, they bring as a proof the hadith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم performed cupping while he was fasting and muhrim on the state of ihram. قال وأحمد وغيره طعنوا في هذه الزيادة وهي قوله وهو صائم وقالوا الثابت أنه احتجم ومحرم وبأنه بأي وجه إذا أراد إخراج الدم فقد أفطر. Imam Ahmad رحمه الله تعالى and other than them, they say this addition, ziyada in this hadith, while he was fasting, the Prophet ﷺ performed hijama while he was fasting and on a state of ihram, he says while he was fasting is not sahih. Rather, the narration that is sound, that he performed hijama while he was in ihram, in a state of ihram. Imam Shawkani in Nail al-Awtar rahimahullah, he mentioned a lot of adilla and statements of these opinions and this group of scholars and this and this. And in the end he says, فَيُجْمَعُ بَيْنَ الْأَحَدِيثِ. He says, now how are we going to combine and bring harmony between all these narrations? قال فيجمع من الأحاديث بأن الحجامة مكروهة في حق من كان يضعف بها وتزداد الكراهة إذا كان الضعف يبلغ إلى حد يكون سبب الإفطار. He says, by combining and bringing harmony between all of these narrations, hijama is disliked for the one who, if he performed it, if it was performed for him, it weakened him, because now it's a lot of blood come out, it make him weak. And he become even more disliked if that person who they take the blood from him while fasting become very weak, which lead him to even break the fast, because now they pass out, they have to take something and eat something. قال ولا تكره في حق من كان لا يضعف بها وعلى كل حال تجنب الحجام للصائم أولى فيتعين حمل قوله أفطر الحاج المحجوم على المجاز لهذه الأدلة الصارفة له عن معنى الحقيقة. He says, and it is not disliked for the one who, when hijama is performed for that person, does not make him weak. He says, so however, with this, still, avoiding hijama while fasting is better. Do it when you are not, inshallah. Last point we mentioned in tonight, قال الشيخ رحمه الله still from this فوائد, that is a summary of the فوائد from the statement of شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية رحمه الله. والسواك جائز بلا نزاع. سواك, cleaning your teeth while fasting, is permissible, and there is no difference of opinions in this. سواك while fasting is permissible. لكن اختلف العلماء في كراهيته بعد الزوال. Rather, yes, there is a difference of opinions whether it is permissible to use siwak after, when dhuhr time comes in until maghrib or not. So they're like, okay, it's okay to use siwak, but they differ if dhuhr comes in from that time until maghrib, can you use it or not? ولكن لم يقم على تلك الكراهية دليل شرعي يصلح أن يخصص عموما نصوص السواك. He says, however, شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله says, however, there is no proof from the legislation that can be used to justify this كراهية, that is dislike to use سواك, that is dislike to clean your teeth after dhuhr, from there until maghrib, while you're fasting. He says, those who say it is disliked, there is no proof. They have no proof from the legislation to support that claim. They have no proof that say, look, yes, you can make siwak, but until dhuhr. There is no proof like this, he says. There is no proof. Because some they say, yes, you can. You can brush your teeth. You can use siwak, but from dhuhr, some they say from asr. But no, this the Shaykh al-Islam, he says there is no proof to specify this time. وذوق الطعام يكره لغير حاجة لكن لا يفطر وأما للحاجة فلا يكره. Another thing, he says, tasting the food for the fasting person. See, somebody is fasting, and they cooking. And they want to see what's going on. You know, they taste. As long as they don't swallow it, they put it on the tip of their tongue. He says, it is disliked if there is no need for it. Noisy people, in our terms. Somebody noisy, just go in the kitchen. No. If there is no need for it, that is disliked. He says, but if there is a need for it, then it is not disliked. Okay? هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وتسليما كثيرا.